in Conway. It's good to see you today. But as we start a new series, that tells me that we've got all of our campuses together, which means Ainer is joining in, South Strand is with us, Jay Rubin is with us, and Online is with us. I just want to give it up for all of you guys. So thankful that you're part of the church and that you are here at The Rock. And let me reiterate what everybody just heard on all of our campuses from one of our hosts, and that is simply get your kids signed up for camp. That if you're a student, go to camp, all right? If you don't have a student, help a student go. I can tell you that my wife and I today, that we made a gift to help some students to go, that this is something that I know here in Conway, Clay said, it scares the mess out of him. But I'll be honest, we're a church, and the size of our church, $30,000 is nothing. I just honestly want to say that. At the number of people who come to The Rock every week, literally, if everybody gave $10 this week, then it would be done in a minute. All right, now, I know my granddaughter, Claire, who's at church right now, she can't give 10, so her parents need to give a little bit extra to cover her life as well, right? But it's that simple. So I know Clay on this campus, and I know Paola and Garrett at Ainer and our other hosts, they sold it, they told you about it, and they said, this month, I really just want to say this. How about this week? Let's just take care of $30,000 this week and send our kids to camp. Just go on the app and just hit the give button and do what you can. All right, now, let me jump into this series. And this series is called Finding Jesus. And the idea of this series is going to take us all the way up to Easter. That you might have seen a card in your chair back advertising Easter signs, or maybe you got one on your way in. This series is taking us all the way there. And the idea with this series is that anybody who finds Jesus, who finds faith, there's typically a moment that it happens. That moment might mean a moment of rock bottom. That moment might mean a time that your parents shared Christ with you. You'd been going to church all your life, and they really just had an opportunity and you had a conversation. That moment might have been when you decided to get sober and you knew you needed to cry out to a higher power. That moment might have been when an illness came in and you were praying for healing. That moment might be when questions hit. And we're going to look at each one of these throughout this series, and we're going to culminate up until Easter, because each week we're going to give you a very tangible action step that goes with finding Jesus. And I want to go ahead and tell you right now, on Easter weekend at all of our campuses, we're going to have a baptism weekend. That we are expecting a bunch of people are going to say, I have found Jesus, and I'm getting baptized. And I want to see that. That's going to happen at South Strand. The baptistry will be there. At Ainer, here in Conway. And Jay Rubin, I'm speaking it out loud right now. I'm going to trust that we're going to figure out a way to get the baptistry there around Easter time and make it happen. Now, Andrew Sally and Chaplain Eddie, you're going to have to do something because I just spoke it, okay? But even around Easter, we want to see that happen there. Because that's a step when it comes to finding Jesus that we take. But what about today? How do you find Jesus when you're asking questions? Maybe let me start by getting you to think through something right now. I'm going to put a QR code up on the screen, and you can pull out your phones, and you can, like, if you don't know how to use a QR code, don't participate, okay? But if you know how to use a QR code, participate with this. I want you to think for a second, what is a question that you would love to have the answer to? And I'm just going to challenge you to ask it right there. It's anonymous. Your name's not going to pop up. Your phone number's not going to pop up. You can ask. You can put me on the spot right now. This is in Ainer, at South, here in Conway. You put me on the spot. Whatever question you ask is going to show up on that screen in just a second. Here's the only rule. No names allowed. Okay, don't use a name. All right, we have questions already. How do bald people know when to stop washing their face? That's a good question, right? Yeah, are you with me here, Sean? That's a great question. I mean, do you stop here or do you go all the way? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Fortunately, God's got me here. Now, right back here, I might have issues, all right? That's a good question. Does a straw have one hole or two? Two? Anybody vote two? Who says one? Most of you didn't vote. South and Ainer, I hope you participated in that. Let me go through some more. My purpose, what is my purpose? Why do bad things happen? We went from fun to serious real quick. Why is there so much hurting in the world? How to pursue holiness. Why do bad things happen again? That these are real questions. And they're gonna keep coming in and we're gonna try to answer some. And we could joke around about the ones that are fun, but what I would really challenge us is, what about some of those questions that maybe you're asking or your friend's asking? Why is there so much pain? Why did my friend get cancer? Why did cancer come back? Will we ever find a cure? Those are real questions where people want real answers. Why do I feel this way? Why do I feel this way mentally? Why do I feel this way emotionally? Why do I feel this way sexually or biologically? Why do I feel this way? It's a real question. How do I get rid of pain? How do I get rid of bitterness? How do I find forgiveness? How do I get rid of guilt? How do I get rid of shame? How do I stop my addiction? How do I reconcile a relationship? Real questions. Does God care? Does God love? Does God love me? Does he have a purpose for my life? Is he real? Can I have a relationship with him? Real questions that deserve an answer. How do I find purpose? How do I find a calling? How do I find significance? Real questions that deserve real answers. So if these are real questions that maybe you have, or maybe these are real questions that you know some others in your life have, where do you go to get the answer? Like, I want you to think about that for a second. Like, if these are real questions that I need an answer to, if I'm looking for answers, well, where do I go to find the answer? Because you know it's not Google. It's not AI. It might be some friends, but it might not be some friends. It might be a family member, but it might not be a family member. Like, where do we go to find the answers to our questions? It makes me think of a guy named Nicodemus. Nicodemus is a guy in the Bible, a very smart guy in the Bible, an educated guy in the Bible, a guy who has great wisdom. We know that because he was part of a group called the Pharisees. And to be a Pharisee, you had to be very intelligent. You had to be smart enough that you could memorize massive sections of the Bible, that you had to be an educated person, meaning that you had followed somebody and learned under somebody. So Nicodemus is a smart man, but he's wrestling with some questions. And one night he goes to Jesus and he's like, Jesus, like I got some questions that I need answered. Now, let me show you the text. It says this, that it's found in John chapter 3, verse 1. It says, there was a man from the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to him at night and said, so it came to him, meaning he came to Jesus. And then it goes on, it says, Rabbi, which means teacher, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform these signs you do unless God was with him. That Nicodemus is basically saying, hey, Jesus, I can tell you're from God because there's no way you could do what you do if you weren't from God. But because you're from God, I want to ask you some things. And I love because before he could go any further, Jesus kind of stopped him in his track and said, hey, let's get past this. You're coming to me just for the signs I've been doing. Let me dig in deep. And he says this. This is what Jesus says. He says, Jesus replied, truly, I tell you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That Jesus answered the statements of Nicodemus with a question and another statement saying, you can't see the kingdom of God unless you've been born again. And Nicodemus is all confused by this. He goes into a whole dialogue that we don't have time to go into, but it's basically about how can somebody go back into his mama? That's impossible. And she's like, you got to be born of the water and the spirit, and goes into this discussion. And then when Jesus is done, this is what Nicodemus says. How can these things be? He asked a question. Jesus has said to him, you want to find some answers? You want to find life? You want to find the Spirit of God? You want to know who I am? He really starts pushing into Nicodemus, and Nicodemus is sitting there going, how can this be? That he's basically saying, Jesus, I need you to answer a basic question. I'm trying to figure out who you are and how to find life. I need some answers. And then Jesus says this to him. He says, in essence, he says, if you want to find answers, he then says this directly, then look to me and believe in me. And I want you to hear that those two phrases. Look to me and believe in me. And you might have questions today. And if you have questions today, the way to find your answers is to look to Jesus and to believe in Jesus. And here's what I want us to do, that I actually want to turn it over to our pastors at our other campuses, because they're going to talk about those two statements while I continue on here in Conway and online and to our J. Reuben crowd. What does it mean? If we really are looking for some answers, how do we find those? Well, the first thing is look to Jesus. And I think right now in our world, more people are doing that than ever before. I know that might sound crazy because you might also say, Josh, have you seen our world lately? Things are crazy out there. They are. But right now, I believe more people are interested and looking towards Jesus than ever before. That just this past week, I was down in Florida at a conference for preachers who are at churches that are of similar size as ours. And as we were sitting there, the question went out, kind of a vital signs, the leader of it. He goes, "Hey, I want to know how your churches are doing." And he asked a set of questions. And on every question, the majority of the room, and I don't mean like 51% of the room, I mean it was rare not to see a hand raised. He said, "How many of you all are seeing record growth? How many of you all are seeing record attendance? How many of you all are seeing record baptisms? How many of y'all are seeing record when it comes to giving?" Like across the room, everybody's hands were going up. And thankfully, I can tell you this, my hand was going up as well. Because we have seen, like basically since the beginning of January, every week we set a new attendance record. Every week at one of our campuses or here. Last week in Conway, it's the largest the Conway campus has ever been in the history of its church. All right? But I think that's because people are going, "Man, I need to find something that matters." Because there are so many lies that have been sown into the fabric of our lives and our culture that I think we've hit a point where we're saying, "That's not working. I need something different. And I'm going to look towards Jesus because I believe he's different." And that's what we see. If we'll just look up and look to Jesus. And that's what Jesus told us to do. See, I got to take you back to the story of Nicodemus. Now, inside of the story of Nicodemus, Jesus was asking him questions. Nicodemus was asking questions. He's looking for answers. And then Jesus said, this is what Jesus said. He said, "Just..." "Just as Moses lifted up a snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up." Like, let me pause on that for a second. Excuse me. That it says this, that just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, the Son of Man must be lifted up as well. That verse might sound like, "That's weird. I'm a little confused. I get it." What Jesus is doing here is he's actually looking back to an event in Jewish history that all the Jewish people, they would have known the story. That there was a time that Moses was walking through the wilderness with all the Israelite people. And as they were walking through the wilderness, that they started grumbling and complaining. They started getting upset because they were out in the dirt and everything was kind of weird. And they were kind of tired of the food that they had. And they started to grumble and complain. And as they were grumbling and complaining, they're just like, "Man, we don't like this. This doesn't make sense." And they started getting mad. And God said, "Okay, you want to grumble and complain about the life that I've given you?" And God sent a judgment on them. That God sent some poisonous snakes and the poisonous snakes bit the Israelites and people would die. I want you to hear something. This is a sermon for a different day, but God judged the Israelite people for complaining. Maybe that should teach us a lesson about grumbling and complaining. But that's a different sermon for a different day. Eventually, they repented. They were like, "We're sorry." And they went to Moses. They said, "We're sorry. What do we need to do?" And Moses went back to God and said, "God, what do we need to do? They're sorry that they don't want to do this. They need to be healed." And God told Moses, he said, "Take and sculpt a bronze snake and mount it to a pole. And then hold the pole up, and when people turn and look towards the snake, they'll be healed." Now, I know at first you'll hear that, you're like, "That sounds weird. What's up with the snake and the pole and all that?" Well, I want you to see the deeper meaning here. that God was telling him to look up at the thing that was bringing judgment, because at the same time it could bring healing. And what God was doing was giving a foreshadow of Jesus later. Because what Jesus is saying there in the text, he's saying is just as the Israelites looked to the snake, you will look towards me. And what he was referring to was the day that he would be hanging on the cross, the day that he would be lifted high above everybody else. He'd be on that cross, on that mountain, and everyone would look up to him. And it was on that day, as he was hanging on the cross, that he was taking the judgment of God. He was taking the sins of the world, which means he was taking our judgment and he was taking our sins. But as he hung there on the cross, the judgment of God was on display, as was the healing of God. See, what Jesus is saying is look to me, because I'm the way that can get you back into a right relationship with God. That the Israelites, early on, they had to look back at the snake because it brought them back into a right relationship with God. And now Jesus is saying, you will look to me because I will bring you back into the right relationship with God. I am the way to the Father. But then he also said, I am the truth. It's later Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But on the cross, I want you to see it, that he's basically saying, I am the way to the Father. I'm the one who can help you find those answers and reconnect you to the Father. Does God care? I am also the truth, that all these things that you've been looking for in life, as you've been looking for truth, all you need to do is look towards me. That if you're looking for the truth and you're looking for answers, all you got to do is look towards me, because I am real truth. I am absolute truth. I am objective truth. Jesus is not relative. He is not subjective. He is objective, absolute truth. He says, look to me, because I can be the way back to God. I can be the truth that you need, and I can bring you life. I can bring you life, both an earthly life and an eternal life. And many of the questions that we're asking can be found when we simply look up to Jesus. As I was preparing for this message, I ran across just a simple statement that when people are thinking about something, where do they look? Right? I mean, most people don't ponder like this. A lot of people ponder like this. When you're thinking about something, I don't know if you're trying to look up into our own brains, but there's something psychological there. So, that may be even woven into our, I don't even know how to say this, is medical terms, neurological systems. Am I good there, Jan? All right, thank you, hon. That God even wove it in there, that look up and believe. I want to find answers. I got to go and look up to Jesus and believe. See, if we just look up, well, that's one step, but it's not the final step. That if we want to find answers in life, we got to look up and believe in Jesus and in him as the answer to all things. And I don't say that as a Sunday school answer. For those of you who grew up in Sunday school, you get asked a question, you go, Jesus. Who did it? Jesus? Like that's how you answer every Sunday school question. That's not what I'm saying, but I am saying he's the answer that you're looking for if you'll believe. Let me go back to that same text I was reading earlier. It says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. So we need to look up to Jesus. And then look what it says next. So that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. That everyone who believes, that it comes down to this word, that we've got to put our belief in him. Not just look at him, but believe in him. Look at this next verse. Some of you are familiar with this verse. Probably the most famous verse in the scriptures. For God so loved the world in this way, he gave his one and only son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. That I want to break this down for a second. That because in this verse are the answers to the question, for God. Like, it just starts right there. Is God real? Is God out there? Yep, right here, we have evidence of God. See, there's evidence of God in creation. We see that in scriptures. It says that God's character and his divine nature can be seen through creation. So you can recognize him there. But all we got to do here is look at this verse. God gave his son. Jesus is our tangible evidence of God. So you can look back at this verse and you can say, is God real? Does God care? Does God want to connect with me? Well, God loved the world in this way. Does God love me? It says he does. Prove it. Proved. Right there. Does God care about me? Yes. Does God love me? Yes. Well, maybe that's just for certain people. Nope. Everyone. The person who's in J. Reuben right now, God loves. He's your answer. The person who's sitting in Conway right now, God loves. He's the answer. The person who's been trying to walk with Jesus your whole life, God loves. He says it right there. The person who maybe this is your first step into a church, or you've just started investigating who Jesus is, right there. He's for you. He's for all of us. God loves us in this way that he demonstrated. He gave his son, Jesus, for everyone. God, do I have a purpose? God, do you have a plan for my life? Believe in him. God says, I've got a plan. That I want you to believe in me so that you can have eternal life. See, right there in John 3:16, I don't have to go to any other scripture tonight. That says it. That if we're looking for answers to life and how to live for him, and if we matter, he's shown us. But it also means this. We have to believe. We have to take that step of belief and walk with him. Walk to him and say, Jesus, I believe. Which takes me back to Nicodemus. You know, that night, to our knowledge, limited knowledge, because we really don't see the end of the conversation, we just see Nicodemus is not there anymore. It's my guess is Nicodemus walked away that night, not with a belief in Jesus, but he walked away looking towards Jesus. But over the course of the next couple years, it could have happened that night, it might have. But we know at least by the time Jesus went to the cross, that somewhere between that night and the cross, Nicodemus didn't just look to Jesus, but he also believed upon him. Which makes me think about another guy. Maybe you've heard him. His name's Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon is a theologian that written many books, preached a lot of sermons. Charles Spurgeon, back in 1850, was a teenager. And he was at home and he felt called to go to church. He just felt called. He's like, man, I need to go to church today. But it was a day that a blizzard had kind of come through town, and he didn't know if any churches would be open. So he just got up and he just started walking through town. And as he was walking through town, he was looking, and eventually he saw some lights on in a little church. So he stepped into this little church. He said there was no more than 15 people in there. And then eventually a frail older guy got up and stepped up to the pulpit and started his sermon this way. Well, I'm not the preacher. Our preacher is snowed in and couldn't make it, so I'm just going to get up and share a verse with you. And he shared from Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22. And he, there in his frail voice, just pulled out his Bible and said, Isaiah 45, 22 says, look up and be saved. Look up. And he said, today we need to look up. Today we need to lift our eyes and we need to look up. And then he said, right there in just a few sentences in, he looked right at Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon would share his testimony this way. He said, he looked up and he looked right at me, a teenage boy. And he said, son, your life looks like it's a wreck. You need to look up. He said, you need to lift your eyes. You need to lift your eyes and look up to the cross. You need to lift your eyes and look up to the one who is sweating and bleeding for you. You need to look up and you need to see the one that died for you. You need to look up and see the one who was buried. You need to look up and see the one that rose from the dead. You need to look up and see the one who is now sitting at the right hand of the Father. You need to look up because the one who you look up to is the one who can give you life. And today, if you look up and believe, you can have life. And on that day, Charles Spurgeon said, I'm in. And it changed his life. He'd been living a mess, but on that day, his questions were answered. And that can be for you as well. So my simple challenge I'm going to give you as I ask everybody to stand up is don't just stand up, but look up and believe. Because in Jesus, you can find the deepest questions answered about purpose, about salvation, about God, about life, about how to live for him, about your calling, about your walk. And there might be somebody here today that you've been looking towards Jesus a little bit, but you haven't claimed belief. And now's the time. I want to invite you, if you're ready to put your faith in Jesus, I have a friend named Darren who's standing over in that Connect corner. He would love to pray with you about that. I have some friends back in this corner. They would love to pray with you about that. Will you say to Jesus, I believe?